Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I'm your host Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. In today's podcast, we bring our focus back to Copilot Plus PCs. This time it is discussing a major event that PC market leader Lenovo held a couple of weeks ago in Berlin. The event was called Lenovo Innovation World. During the event, the company announced a slew of Copilot Plus PCs based on Intel's latest Intel Core Ultra 200V, also known as Lunar Lake, AMD AI 300, as well as Qualcomm's new Snapdragon X Plus 8-core SoC. These PCs almost cover all the market segments as well as tiers. So in a sense, with these, Lenovo is making Copilot Plus PCs mainstream. The Innovation World event itself comprised of an embargoed analyst session with lots of in-depth discussions with the product managers and executives, as well as a glitzy private event with media, customers, and partners present. And they also had walk-ons from Microsoft, Intel, Qualcomm, AMD, Stability AI, and Formula One. So I had the opportunity to attend the event in person. So is my guest, Olivier Blanchard, who is the research director at Futurum Research. Olivier, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Olivier and I'll talk about the event, what caught our eye, what our key takeaways, Copilot pieces in general, what future holds for them, and so on. But before that, let's do some quick introductions. Olivier, it's your first time at the show. Could you please give a quick background on what you've been doing and what are your research areas?
Sure. So I'm, again, Olivier Blanchard. I'm a research director at the Futurum Group. And my coverage areas are actually quite broad. Mm-hmm. I cover semiconductors, although I try to steer that mostly towards devices and edge.
Okay.
I also cover devices. So that's everything from mobile PC XR to IoT and IIoT, which bleeds into my next coverage area, which is also automotive. And then finally, because just in case I get bored and I don't have enough work on my plate, I also cover policy, which ranges from everything from IP regulations to antitrust and, you know, issues like US versus China and trade tariffs and all of that good stuff, which, again, is a really good tie-in to AI and chips and semiconductors and devices. And so for me, it all forms like one giant continuum, but it does have a lot of different moving parts, and I try to focus on all of them at some point.
Yeah, indeed. It's pretty broad. And then a lot of these are interlinked as well, right? It's like, it's like one giant tech industry now with different aspects, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And Olivier and I go back like what, 8-9 years now. We and always meet at events like this and so on. So I thought, why not talk about these events on the show? So yeah, welcome again to the show. So let's get started. So what was your overall expression of the event, Olivier?
I thought the event was good. I mean, it's always like kind of good and bad, but I was pretty impressed specifically with Lenovo and their lineup.
Yeah.
I have some notes for them though, a little bit. Yeah. I think it's notes that are probably useful for all PC OEMs. Mm-hmm. And it deals with silicon diversity.
Yeah.
Now that Intel has finally introduced their Lunar Lake Core Ultra chips to the market. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing the first PCs powered by this processor. We finally have all three, right? Yeah. We have Intel, we have AMD, and we have Qualcomm with their Snapdragon X platform.
Yeah.
And so it's great. It creates more choice, but also it makes it more difficult for buyers on the consumer side, mm-hmm. as well as buyers and ITDMs on the commercial side, to sort of navigate these new paradigms of which of three instead of two processors should I get for my particular use cases? What are the price point differentiators? What are the performance differentiators? Which one is most likely to future-proof my organization? Which one is most likely to meet all of my compatibility, interoperability, security, and even power consumption standards. It just sort of like resets that conversation for everybody. And I felt that with Lenovo, we had the same nomenclature that we're already familiar with ThinkPads and Yoga and all of these different lines of PCs. But there's not necessarily a clear differentiation yet in the branding, the nomenclature, the part numbers, and the names that allows prospective buyers to know exactly, just at a glance, to know if they're buying a Snapdragon powered ThinkPad, or if it's Intel, or if it's AMD. It's still a little bit difficult to navigate that.
Yeah, I mean, some might say that, and it's not too different because there are already two vendors, now there is one more. But I think, I know, this new Copilot Plus PCs have kind of a different breed together, right? So when Intel and AMD were competing, I mean, they kind of sat down to what is good at for what and so on. But now with this, now there is almost kind of a redefinition in terms of performance and battery life. And it's kind of everybody is competing for this new breed of PCs, right? So that kind of redefines the whole competitive landscape. And I agree with you that, you know, and a lot of the OEMs that we talked to, including, you know, he said, hey, you know, we are supporting everybody. We are giving choice to our customers and we let our customers choose. I mean, I think initially that's okay because everybody's trying to find out where these things fall in, what is good for what, and so on. But I think next year or year after that, OEMs have to kind of message these different vendors and different models and so on to specific customer segments, if you will, right?
Yeah.
And this is only the beginning. I mean, if you listen to the grapevine, and of course, it's not that secret anymore that there'll be other players, could be MediaTek, could be Samsung as well in right. the ARM for Windows field. So, yeah, I think, and it's going to be an interesting balancing act for Lenovo and other OEMs on how to balance these out, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a good thing for consumers, but yeah. I think the market on the commercial and the consumer side need a little bit more clarity. And I think Microsoft being very invested in the Snapdragon X platform and Windows on ARM has, I think for the better, put a lot of investment in educating the public. And so we're already seeing how Microsoft and Snapdragon are moving into a competitive space against Apple, which essentially is sort of like, there's Copilot Plus with, you know, x86, but there's also Copilot Plus with Snapdragon, which has still had the exclusive for a few months, which is a direct sort of, you know, ARM-based versus ARM-based comparison. And so their competitive motion there, at least their marketing, their sort of, you know, marketing strategy is to essentially come to the market with, look, we finally have a Windows PC that can compete against Mac on performance, on battery life, on form factors. And that's something Microsoft has wanted to do for a really long time. And so I can see why they're aggressively pursuing this. I'm just not sure that I'm seeing the same clarity, the sort of same mission clarity from the PC OEMs yet. Like, we know they want to compete against Apple as well, but I'm not sure that they're not really used to it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure they figured out how to message on that particular point yet.
I think one hurdle for them is this ecosystem approach, right? When Apple sells it's basically all part of the ecosystem. And then if you're part of the ecosystem, and you might call it walled garden, people want to be inside, not get out. I think that's a major hurdle competing with Apple. So although these are called Copilot Plus PCs and that moniker comes with the AI capabilities that you have to have. You have to have at least 40 AI TOPS for a PC to be called a Copilot Plus PC. But right now, all the competition is on CPU performance, right? So it'll be interesting how and when that will move to AI.
Yeah, I think right now there's kind of like two tracks to these Copilot Plus PCs. As you said, one of them is AI, because then that's part of the branding, that's part of the brand promise, the value proposition. But that hasn't really materialized yet.
Yeah.
So we understand, ChatGPT, generative AI. We like just people generally understand that these capabilities exist, and they've experienced them in the cloud up until now, or at least for the most part in the cloud. They haven't really necessarily experienced them on device. And so, and the thing is, it's not necessarily clear to a user where the processing, where the workloads are taking place, whether they're in the cloud or on the device. And so it's going to take a little bit of time to teach and train PC users to sort of, use and look for those opportunities. And so for the time being, I think that AI is sort of something that's, over the next hill, that we know it's coming. We want to future-proof our organizations or our home office with a PC that can handle this stuff. And that's a plus for sure. But ultimately, right now, it's about just having a better PC, and a better PC that's not just incrementally better over the one that, they could have bought a year ago, but that is substantially better with radically better battery life. In great part because a lot of workloads that used to be sort of pushed out to the GPU, which is very power intensive, are now sort of designed to be processed on the NPU, which is much more thermally efficient. And so that gives two advantages. One is your laptop on Copilot Plus PC, especially Snapdragon, I think, is probably not going to burn your lap the way it used to, which is good if you're wearing shorts or if it's the summer and your pants are not very, very thick and you have your laptop and you're running really heavy applications, it should run a lot cooler now. And the other one is because of that, your battery should last you a lot longer. And so we're seeing performance up to, 21, 22 hours of playback on a single battery charge, which is exceptional.
The AI workload as such, I think it's not very clear how it'll pan out. But in my view, I think rather than waiting for this boondoggle of a killer AI app, I think especially in the enterprises, it'll primarily, initially at least, moving some of the existing applications like security and some of the enterprise applications run on CPU right now. A lot of these, which run 24/7 on the laptop, move them to NPU so that they run efficiently and keep CPU free, which will make the PCs run much cooler and much longer, right? So
That's right.
it is more of a moving existing features some and applications to NPU rather than waiting for this huge applications to come and solve all of our problems, right?
That's right. Yeah, it is. It's exactly that. So I think that the priority right now is just, a much more efficient PC. It's faster, the boot ups are faster, they are less likely to crash. They have this terrific battery efficiency improvements. But also I think that something that's driving this is and we don't talk about this enough probably, because we talk about the specs and we talk about the Copilot Plus PC ecosystem and all these processors. But there's sort of like a more important driver of adoption here, and it's the end of support for Windows 10 next October. And especially in the enterprise or in the commercial segments, what we're seeing is that companies are sort of realizing, oh no, we need to upgrade a lot of our PCs. And so this Copilot Plus ecosystem launch of this sort of, leapfrogging into this new era of AI capable PCs with this terrific performance is just the perfect timing to replace Windows 10 machines with Windows 11 machines, whether they're Windows on ARM or x86.
And I agree. I think Windows 11 will be a great intersection of opportunities for PCs, for even the enterprises. But at the same time, I think they are waiting on which way to go, right? Now we have three SoCs. If it was earlier, that mode would have been much simpler and easier. Right now, basically, they have to evaluate a little bit more than what they would have otherwise done. In the enterprise side, Windows and ARM or Snapdragon X Elite and X Plus PCs, they are still under trial, right? the case is not made yet there. It's, you know, concerns about app compatibility and so on. So I think it'll be interesting early next year when the enterprise procurement cycle starts where these all three stand, right?
Yeah, it will. We just did a study on this in July, where we specifically looked at Copilot Plus PCs and perceptions about Windows on ARM and Snapdragon versus Intel versus AMD Ryzen. And one of the interesting things is I think it was 2/3 of organizations would run through their evaluation of a new PC platform inside of 6 months. So that's good news, right? That 2/3 can do it that quickly. You know, our study was basically 70% enterprise, 30% mid-market. Uh-huh. Only about 1/3 would take 6 months to 12 months to evaluate a PC or a new PC platform. So we'll know pretty quickly. Yeah, by the beginning of the year, Snapdragon, Copilot Plus PCs will have been in pilots for long enough for companies to know. But the other factor here is also that we've seen really good penetration over the last few years of another ARM-based PC, which is, you know, Macs. Macs have been, you know, what are they at, like 22-23% penetration in the enterprise now? Yeah. And so what that's done is it's created this sort of ARM supported motion in the enterprise and in small and mid-sized businesses already. So the on-ramp for the adoption of ARM-based PCs, thanks to Apple, ironically, since, you know, they've had some issues with Qualcomm in the past, as we know, Apple has sort of paved the way for the Windows on ARM adoption to go a lot more smoothly.
And that is even more significant because, I mean, if you look at consumer space, it is, I think, as I mentioned, ecosystem bound, right? So if you're part of Apple ecosystem, it's very hard for you to get out of it. But that doesn't exist in enterprise. So if you're liking Mac on the enterprise side, liking the ARM performance, then moving from, you know, expensive Mac and with a lot of limitations and so on to a Windows PC with equivalent performance, it's a much easier and simpler shift rather than for consumers, in my view.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So you know, and PC is a very tough business, right? With you know, very small margins and so on. So what do you think Lenovo needs to keep doing to keep winning and keep their market leadership position ongoing as we move forward?
Yeah, it depends what they're trying to do. So obviously, you know, gaining market share.
Yeah.
And that market share has to come from somewhere. So I'm assuming they're going after Dell and HP primarily.
Yeah.
You know, having attractive laptops on the consumer side, it's sort of, you know, having the sexiest laptop, basically.
Yeah.
And having additional ports so that creators, content creators, can put in their micro SIM cards and things like that is kind of important. Uh-huh. Obviously, battery life is super important as well. Really good displays, you know, soft, comfortable, like ergonomics, basically sort of like soft touch keys. So they're hitting all those marks. I think Lenovo is doing great there. I'm testing a Yoga right now that's having some issues. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure how that's going to go. But on the commercial side, I think they're doing all the right things to be sexier and more attractive as an option to consumers. And having, obviously, this sort of, you know, choice between the crazy battery life of Snapdragon or the better value for your dollar of AMD processors, and then having Intel, which is sort of like, if you want Intel, we have it, and it's a very well balanced, you know, processor.
Yeah.
These are all good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think obviously they need to win on price as well. But in the enterprise, I think the main thing is they need to also win on security.
Yeah.
Obviously, AMD has advantages again on price.
Yeah.
But I was mostly impressed with the new ThinkPad.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Intel Core Ultra ThinkPad X1
Carbon.
It was 850 grams. Yeah. That thing felt like there was no battery inside of it when you hold it up.
Yeah.
And so for a laptop that's already, I have the older version of it. that is such a great, like, solid work laptop for the enterprise.
Yeah.
To go ahead and make it even better this way with better battery life and make it that light.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's expensive.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Lenovo is doing all the right things. If I were HP and Dell, I'd be a little bit worried right now.
Yeah.
That Lenovo could gain more market share in the next year.
Yeah. I mean, and ThinkPad basically is their main beachhead into enterprises, right? It's famous for its long battery life, stability, and so on. And then with these new chips, I think makes their position even better. So
and something else that they did, I just want to bring up the Aura edition laptops. So they had one in the consumer side, one in the on the commercial side.
Yeah.
And essentially what it is, it's if your listeners don't know, it's an exclusive partnership between Intel and Lenovo for their top tier, like, flagship PCs.
Mm-hmm.
That essentially unlocks these AI enabled features about wellness and security and file sharing. All these things are very cool, that are very Apple-like in a way, that you can only find on Lenovo with Core Ultra, the Lunar Lake Core Ultra chips, and only at the very high end. And this kind of sort of exclusive feature set is, first of all, kind of a plus.
Yep.
It's a nice differentiator and value add that Lenovo has created. So it's good for Intel because it showcases their platform as potentially this very flagship, very exclusive high-end platform. So it elevates Intel Core Ultra, but it also sets Lenovo apart from the competition. And it sets within the product line of Lenovo, it sets these two laptops apart from the rest as, like, this is the ultra premium stuff, and if you want those cool features, you can have them. And I've been thinking a lot about this, and to me, I think it's sort of the way forward for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if everyone does this, so if HP and Dell decide to do this, and, you know, within all of these PC OEM ecosystems, they also do something similar with AMD and something similar with Qualcomm.
Yeah,
the question is, does it still allow them to differentiate themselves, or does it just complicate the entire value proposition? And my answer to that is, let's hope we find out. Because it's one way, like, the Copilot Plus ecosystem to me is sort of homogenous. There's not a lot of clear differentiation once you get past, you know, Intel versus AMD versus Qualcomm.
Yeah, true.
And I'd like to see Lenovo, HP, Dell, Samsung, Acer, and Asus take this opportunity to differentiate, or to clarify their differentiation. Like, why should I buy a Lenovo? Why should I buy an Asus? Why should I invest into this ecosystem? And what do I have to look forward to? What benefits am I going to get from this, other than, you know, predictability of performance and perhaps a better price? And I think unlocking those AI features is a good way to make that case to buyers on the commercial side and the consumer side.
Yeah, interesting. It also kind of shows their commitment to the vendors as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of conundrum of the Windows ecosystem as such, especially when they're trying to compete with Apple, right? The whole idea is, you know, we don't want to break down and disintegrate this large ecosystem with very specific features and so on, right?
Right.
At the same time, you have to have a differentiation. Otherwise, everything looks exactly same. And then you end up being a commodity, right? So everybody trying to compete on price and so on. So
exactly.
I think that is a perennial problem for Windows ecosystem. And especially this Aura thing, a lot of these features and the modes are not interesting. I think the cool feature was basically you tap the phone onto your laptop, and then instantly, and you can see all the pictures from the phone on your laptop and, you know, move them back and forth and so on. That was developed on Intel Unison project, which, you know, they talked quite a lot about it a couple of years ago, and there was absolutely no news. I thought they're kind of going down on it, and then now, you know, that's kind of the basis of this Aura edition. So,
yeah, they revived it. In my view, I think it's such a consumer-friendly feature that Lenovo should enable it on all their consumer-facing PCs. This should be standard on all Yoga laptops, for instance, and not make it, because, like, they're premium like ultra premium types of features on there
yeah.
in the Aura edition.
Yeah.
That make perfect sense as such.
Yeah.
But that one should be a Lenovo exclusive across their entire line. Yeah.
And also that works with Intel, right? So, yeah. You know, they choosing to work with Intel on that specific aspect says a couple of things. One is, you know, there are other solutions in the market. For example, Microsoft Phone Link, as it's called, or Windows Phone, which kind of gives the same features and benefits. And if Lenovo had gone with Microsoft, then they could have brought this feature across all of their PCs, whether it is AMD, Intel, or Qualcomm. But they choose to go with Intel. That says something, right? That's one. And since there is a lot of AI power in this, they had to make sure they kind of prime the pump on AI on these things and not, you know, only let the app ecosystem and Microsoft do their part, right? So they wanted their part. And, you know, as part of that, they worked with Stability AI to port Midjourney on device and kind of give the same image creation application with what they call Lenovo Creator Zone that they announced. That also is kind of interesting. And I see, in absence of this large killer AI use cases that everybody wants to use on their laptops, I expect that many OEMs, you know, cut their own deals, bring their own flavors of AI applications and use cases on their laptop, maybe working even with other AI model vendors and so on, right?
The thing is, you don't want to differentiate too much, because if you bring an application that's going to be popular, the reality is that, you know, most companies on the commercial side aren't going to, you know, just only have Lenovo and only have HP, only have Dell. They're going to have a mix of a bunch of different brands. And so you still want to have some of these applications, some of these agents sort of be common to all of these models. So it's more, I think it behooves Microsoft to work on this. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing more work and more communication around how AI agents and Copilot Plus sort of features will embed themselves into Word and Excel and PowerPoint and sort of like the applications that people use on a daily basis.
I used Yoga Slim 7X and Galaxy Book 4 Edge, quite a mouthful, both Snapdragon X Elite laptops. I reviewed them. The reviews are on my website. And they work quite well. The two main observations, obviously, the performance and battery life was, you know, excellent. Right, as expected. One thing I found, most of the Copilot features are, you know, some of them are usable, like the Windows effect, which kind of replaced, you know, many OEMs had their own proprietary features similar to that. This replaced with a Windows feature. That I think is useful. Others were, you know, good to have, but I don't know how often I would use them, right? So, you know, those features are not a selling point right now. Nobody would go buy PCs for those. And then app compatibility, I think still, if you're using just mainstream applications and so on, it's good. But if you move away and have some esoteric applications, either consumer or in enterprises, that still is a challenge. So we'll see. And the peripherals, I mean, I have an old Samsung printer that did not work with these new laptops with X Elite. So, and that could be another thing that, you know, enterprises have to keep in mind if they are very old peripherals.
Yeah.
I'm assuming during this trial period, they're checking all those out and so on. Yep.
Yep. Yep. So I'm testing a lot of these laptops. I haven't had really many issues with them,
uh-huh.
but I did on the Yoga Slim 7X, start encountering some compatibility issues, and I don't know where the problem is specifically, but it's when I'm using the Edge browser and a Poly camera and conference room system, which is owned by HP. Sometimes I'm not sure why it doesn't recognize, it can't bounce from earbuds to conference room system to laptop to application. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, and it needs to work every time.
Yeah.
And I've only experienced that with that particular laptop, so I'm not sure if it's just a glitch. or what?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about it in my review as well. That is the biggest issue. So if everything works, that's perfect. If something doesn't, then there is no good resource right now, especially for consumers, to find out where the issue is. Did I not install it correctly? Is it not supported? Problem is the problem on the other end, not on the laptop. So you know, if you get into a challenging situation, it's very hard for you to know how to solve it. I think that's that's a major thing. For games, I think there is a good resource for you to check. But for apps, if they don't work, you don't know whether it is the PC, the app, the compatibility, or you're doing something wrong. And last question, in terms of, with these many solutions out there, it means they have to spend a lot of R&D dollars to have multiple models on all these SoCs, right? So do you expect that to be a challenge?
Sure, but they all have to do it. I mean, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. And I would very seriously challenge anyone who might suggest that, you know, the Windows on ARM and Snapdragon isn't going to work, or it's not going to be worth it. They're not going to capture enough market share, blah, blah, blah. And eventually PC OEMs might, you know, move away from their investment in that. And part of the reason why I feel that way is, first, the response for Snapdragon has been extremely positive so far from what we're seeing. And so it's doing well, and it's capturing a decent amount of market share already. And I think the more people use those systems, the more they're going to like them. But the other thing is Microsoft itself. Like, Microsoft as a company is very invested in Windows on ARM. Obviously, they've poured a lot of time and money into this. Their product roadmap, even with the Surface PCs and tablets, is very focused on Snapdragon, obviously. It's kind of like Snapdragon first and then Intel second. And so so I think it's a nature of the beast moving forward, that now there are, you know, three platforms, three SoCs, as opposed to two, but everybody's resetting essentially at the same time.
Yeah, and it could be even more in the future, we'll see. And also, I think one critical thing which is really going good for Lenovo is their scale. So if you have these, 20, 30 different models and variations thereof, then, if you have a large market share, then your R&D spend per model is much small compared to somebody who has a smaller market share, right? So I think scale could be in favor of Lenovo and make it more competitive compared to others. So
it could be, like the number of models that they have, like their list of SKUs, scares me. I would not want to be managing that. So I'm assuming that, you know, there are two options here. Either they have, they just kind of bet on, you know, what they're going to sell, and they have, you know, inventory at the ready, which is a super high risk, and they have to carry a huge balance. Or they have great faith in their own supply chain and their own supply chain partners to be able to respond quickly to orders. And so, you know, let's see how that goes. But I appreciate the effort from Lenovo to basically be the PC company that says, we have that configuration. Here it is, and we can ship it on X date.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a good way to, you know, be there for the customers in case the their competitors aren't. Or in case their competitors have, you know, like a 3 to 6 month lead time on a PC.
Yeah, exactly. And going forward, I think there will be some rationalization of this portfolio across the board from all OEMs. I think it's early time, so they don't want to take risk by not supporting something, right? So
And it's a moving target as well. Like, we saw Qualcomm release their Snapdragon X Plus 8 core 2 weeks ago, just before IFA as well. And Lenovo had a model. I can't remember which PC had it. I think it might have actually been several. And I mean, to me, if I'm looking for the best bang for your buck with a Copilot Plus PC right now, it's that one. Like, it's not the best chip, it's not the best SoC, but it's almost as good as the 10 core. But it's, you know, it's much lower priced. And so I think people who, whether it's the enterprise, SMB, consumers, who are looking for a budget PC, like the best budget PC, and the Copilot Plus ecosystem is probably a dollar for performance. Any PC that's going to have that, the Snapdragon X plus 8 core. It's a little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah,
as the processor. So there's that too, and Lenovo has those.
Yeah, and it's the target for that is around 700, so which is kind of the sweet spot of that.
Which is crazy when you think about it. Like a PC that good, with that kind of battery life, with that tiny form factor, they're thin. For in that price range, it's crazy. A year ago, it would have been double that price.
All right, Olivier, that was a great discussion. Thank you very much for all of your insights, and
thanks for having me. I hope
to see you back again on the show.
Yeah, I hope we can do this again soon. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you again. So, folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening this on. I'll be back soon with another episode putting light on another interesting tech subject. Bye-bye for now.